Hey, sir, we're good. Joseph, you ready?
Oh, yes, sir.
All right. Okay, the time is now 6:31 PM. Therefore, I call to order the regular meeting of the Harker Heights Planning and Zoning Commission for July 25th, 2018. We'll start with an invocation and pledge of allegiance. Commissioner Charlton will be doing the invocation. Commissioner Webster will be doing the pledge of allegiance. Please join us if you'd like.
Please bow your head. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. We would ask that if there's any rain in the vicinity, that you'd send us our way. Give us the knowledge and the wisdom to make decisions that affect the future of Harker Heights and its residents. Give us the intellect to listen carefully and hear the citizen's side of the proposal and listen to others who may speak against or for it. We would ask that you bless these people in this meeting. Bless God for all you have given us. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state under God, one indivisible.
We always sing "My Country Tis the Land" right after. In Kiwanis. Almost broke out in song, Tony. My country tis of thee.
Okay. All right, the P&amp;Z consists of volunteers appointed by the city council. We coordinate with city staff, owners, developers, and agents and residents to provide the council with independent, objective, and coordinated evaluations and recommendations of planning and zoning issues in the context of state statutes, local ordinances, and the city's land use and comprehensive plans. Except for preliminary plats, all votes are recommendations and are forwarded to the council for decision. Secretary will note all commissioners that are present and the ones that are absent. I'm only showing Wilson and McCann not being here. Everyone else is here, okay? We definitely have a quorum. If everybody could please silence your cell phones, pagers, whatever, make noise out there. Turn that off for a little while. The first order of business is going to be the approval of minutes from the regular meeting held on June 27th, 2018. And look that over. Okay, with that, do I have a motion?
Motion to approve minutes.
Commissioner Welch motions. Do I have a second?
Second.
Commissioner Charlton seconds. Very good. Any discussion? All in favor, please signify by raising your hands. And that is unanimous there. Seven to zero. Okay, next thing. It's going to be a report on development activity.
Well, we had no conflict of interest.
Yeah.
I knew that. That's why I skipped that part. Yep, thank you, though. There's no conflict of interest, sir. Ty.
All righty. Thank you, Chairman. This month, we haven't had any commercial development permits pulled. We have seen four residential permits pulled, filling up the rest of those subdivisions that are already pre-developed. And then we have had two permits pulled for duplexes, 1421 and 1423 Tejas Trail, located in Comanche land. We're still pushing along with 30,115 residents, and that's an estimated population. Any questions?
Thank you very much, ma'am.
You're welcome.
Okay, next will be a report on the city council action results from the July 10th, 2018 meeting. Mr. Mullis?
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you can see, the first order was the conditional use permit on Mountain Lion Road. You had recommended approval 8-0. The council, however, recommended denial with a vote of 3-2. I really didn't get a chance to engage the council about their reasoning, but based on the discussion, I think it had more to do with the fact they felt that that area was still more residential than commercial, as opposed to 2410, where it's clearly an arterial with commercial development. I think that had it been a different type of commercial development, you know, like another type of school, like a dance school or something, I think they would have been okay with that. But for some reason, a veterinary clinic just didn't bode well there. So it wasn't a message to us that we were doing anything wrong. We've got another CUP tonight, so I don't think it was a blanket statement that they don't like CUPs. I think it was just that particular location. So I wouldn't worry too much about recommending approvals for conditional use permits like we're about to do. It was just, like I said, I think it was more of a location-based decision than anything else.
Well, they don't all go through?
They don't always do that. Most of the time they do, but every now and again, things happen.
I know this young lady was with us, I think. Yep. All right.
The next order of business was the rezoning from R1 to B4 on that piece of property on Cedar Knob Road that was kind of behind those houses on Loblolly. You recommended approval 8-0, and the council did approve it 5-0. And they did maintain the condition that the fence be placed along that property line. So they took the whole thing forward.
That's good to hear. Okay, first we got a public hearing now, C18-10, okay. First under public hearing is the case of Z18-10. Conduct a public hearing to discuss and consider recommending an ordinance granting a conditional use permit, CUP, to adjust design requirements for an air conditioning and heating repair company on property designated as B4, secondary and highway business district, on property described as Kern Acres, second extension, and revision amended L7-8, 17-18, B1, Block 001, Lot 007A, Acres .65, identified as property ID of 118033, generally located at 104 West Veterans Memorial Boulevard, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. The applicant is here today to request a recommendation of approval for a conditional use permit for the property at 104 West Veterans Memorial Boulevard. As you recall, we workshopped this piece of property last month as kind of a precursor or pilot, if you will, to the up-and-coming Veterans Memorial Boulevard Overlay District. And so this was kind of viewed as our first chance to see what those kind of rules would look like on the ground. We had discussions with the applicant in depth about their plans for the property and the types of building material and so forth. And so they're moving forward with this as we had indicated they would. And so the applicant's seeking approval for a conditional use permit to essentially ease the requirements on the facade for commercial buildings. As you recall, in Harker Heights, commercial buildings require a masonry facade on all sides with a particular architectural fenestrations like pilasters, parapets, ornamental lighting or decorative or repetitive patterns of some kind and so forth. So they wanted an easement on that. As we discussed, it's very difficult to build a large building cost effectively that's pure masonry. You start dealing with, you know, having to use tilt wall construction or basically building a big cinder block building that looks like a giant box. And so we were working with this applicant to come up with a more innovative way to meet their challenges on this particular piece of property. So, as I indicated, on June 27th, they came before you in a workshop to discuss these conditions, which we have since codified and brought back before you today. This is a picture of the property. As you can see, it's a mostly vacant lot. There is a remnant of some kind of slab or foundation on the property as it exists, and I suspect that a lot of that ground underneath that grass is some type of pavement that the grass just kind of broke through, so it is a mostly undeveloped yet previously developed tract property. The existing land use calls it vacant, but it is surrounded by occupied commercial developments on the east and the west. The 110 West Veterans Memorial Boulevard is that former Texas Crab Shack and other building that's currently vacant. The shop to the east, I believe, is a auto mechanic shop. They do have residential properties behind them, and across the street on Veterans Memorial Boulevard are more commercial uses. So staff feels that continuing this property as a commercial use is consistent with the existing land use. As far as the zoning is concerned, the property is zoned B4, which would allow heating and air conditioning storage and office building. It is surrounded by B4 zoning on all sides, except in the back there are some residential zonings, which would be one and two family dwellings. But again, the use intended with this conditional use permit is consistent with the zoning requirements and the surrounding zoning uses of the area. And finally, the future land use map calls for commercial development for this property, with commercial development all around it and medium density residential acting as a buffer between commercial and single family residential, which is our standard means of separating uses. So the proposed use would be consistent with the future land use map as part of our comprehensive plan 2007. And again, it's consistent with the comprehensive plan as far as encouraging redevelopment of Veterans Memorial Boulevard, and is therefore consistent with just about every single poll, focus group, or study that we've had for this city. This is a use that very well fits this area as far as what we want to see develop in the area, and it is something that the citizens want to see. They want to see Veterans Memorial Boulevard get redeveloped, and so the proposed use meets those requirements and aspirations of the future land use map and the 2007 comprehensive plan. Finally, we sent notifications to 34 properties within the 400-foot notification area, and we've received one recommendation of approval and no recommendations of denial. This is the proposed site plan, as you recall. I had to turn it sideways so it fits better on the page. North is to the right, Veterans Memorial Boulevard. So you can see that they're proposing a almost L-shaped structure with a fire lane that goes through the property from Veterans Memorial Boulevard to Cathy Road. You can kind of see where they intend to fence in their property here and here and along the back, and of course use the building as a barrier as well. This is the internal configuration where you can see that they'll have a little bit of office space, but for the most part it's going to be inside storage for their equipment. So despite the fact that they are screening their property, they're also going to store a lot of their equipment internally. So again, trying to maintain the aesthetics of the area. Finally, this is the proposed elevations for the front and side. And as we discussed before, they are doing some masonry in the front, but they've also got a rather large canopy over the front to kind of act as another architectural feature for them. And then the sides will be metal construction. You can see they are going to extend the masonry wainscot around the side. And they'll probably do that on the other side as well. And again, that's consistent with what we've discussed as far as architectural requirements in this overlay district. So let's talk a little bit about the conditions of this CUP. As you know, a CUP is created for a property or a use that is normally conducive to that area, but might have some issues with its surrounding neighbors. In this case, the only real issue is that they want to deviate from the architectural requirements. So we've placed some conditions on the property to try to minimize any detriment to that. So they want to do a metal building. So we are proposing some conditions to alleviate any potential harms from having an all-metal building. So what you see as far as the requirements are, first of all, you know, other than what we've made exceptions to as conditions for this CUP, they have to follow all other regulations and codes within the code of ordinances. So the up-to-date building code, fire code, property maintenance code, and so forth. The building facade requirements, we're requiring 25% masonry in the front, and then the rest of it can be metal, but we do ask that the facades vary either in color or pattern to try to break up large unbroken walls along the thing. We just don't want, you know, a 100-foot wall of just sheet metal going across. And one of the examples that we looked at was, ironically, not in one of these pictures. It was in a different picture where it showed them breaking up the pattern of the sheet metal, you know, going from horizontal to vertical and so forth. And for some reason, I managed to not place it in this PowerPoint, but we had it in last month's PowerPoint. So I'll find that for the city council, but you guys kind of remember what we were talking about. So that's what we proposed to the applicant, and they were fine with that, either just painting some different colored panels or changing the direction or both. You know, we'll give them the opportunity to exercise their creative freedom there. So those are the building facade requirements. The landscaping requirements are that they have to have 8 total trees on the site and 30 total shrubs. We ask that they try to place the landscaping in strategic areas to, again, break up the monotonous facades visible to the public. We're not necessarily worried about the sides as much as we are about anything along the frontage. You know, these examples provide different types of landscaping and how to basically landscape in front of the building in areas that aren't access areas. You know, don't block any doors or windows with landscaping, but you can still put some landscaping and make a metal building look pretty nice with it. So those are the requirements there. Sidewalks, they are going to be required to put a 6-foot sidewalk on Veterans Memorial Boulevard. That is because that is part of our strategic sidewalk plan. We do not have plans to put a sidewalk on Cathy, so we would not require that they do that on Cathy. And we understand that right now, if they put a sidewalk on Veterans, it's going to be a sidewalk to nowhere. But eventually, as the properties develop, we'll start to infill the rest of that sidewalk. And perhaps when funding is available to redo Veterans Memorial Boulevard through TxDOT category funding, that we could continue the sidewalks from that point. But that's what we're recommending that they do. And as far as signage is concerned, other than the traditional wall signs that would be allowed for any building, we're allowing a freestanding or monument sign, but limiting it to 120 square feet and 10 feet in height. So again, we're trying to bring down the intensity of all the signage on Veterans Memorial Boulevard. And fortunately, this type of business is not one that needs a sign per se. They're not going to have a lot of customers, so I think they'll be fine with the signage that's available to them. It should be enough for deliveries and so forth to find them. Finally, screening. We talked about dumpsters. Dumpsters placed in locations visible from the street must have enclosures that match the front facade of the building, and the gates must not be visible from the street. So in other words, if we can see it from the street, it needs to match the building. If you put a masonry building up, it needs to be a masonry enclosure. If it's a masonry metal combination, then the enclosure needs to match that. However, if it's not visible from the street, then it can be a wood or metal enclosure, or if it's completely not visible, you don't even need an enclosure in particular.
So he's inside the fenced-in area.
Correct. So if he's inside a screening fence, or if his dumpster's inside a screening fence, doesn't need an enclosure at all. So we figured that gives people a lot of flexibility and, frankly, encourages people to screen other undesirable sections of their property. So if they have storage areas and so forth, it's encouraging them to screen those storage areas, and then they can keep their dumpster back there and save some money on that enclosure. We also ask that mechanical and support systems such as HVAC and electrical panels also be screened from the street. So if they want to put it in the back, in this case, can't really put it in the back because they got double frontage, but again, they've got a big screening fence, so they'll be okay. And then finally, we ask for an 8-foot screening fence to secure the facility and screen the storage of the vehicles and equipment on the site, but we give them the freedom to use metal, wood, masonry, or a combination of any of those materials. So we feel that that's giving them the maximum flexibility, yet allowing for a good modicum of control as far as the aesthetics of the area and trying to keep the street looking nice and tidy, or the view tidy from the street. So that concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have, and the applicant is here to answer any questions as well. Thank you. Well,
Joseph, I think this looks exactly like what we went over the other day. I'm excited to get something in there. I just drove by the property again today, and it'd be nice to have something in there. The sidewalk is a huge, I mean, it's like an encouragement for everything else in the area there, in my opinion. Commissioners, do you have any input?
I have one question.
Sir.
Is there any prohibition to have an HVAC on top of the building?
No, not at all.
So as long as you have it screened off or covered.
Right. And so what we would encourage in that is that they build some kind of parapet to hide it.
Sure.
And of course, based on angles, a parapet doesn't have to be quite that high. It just has to block the view. So when we draft the actual overlay district, that's the kind of language we'll have in there.
Okay. They could also put it on the back side of the
Absolutely.
Building.
Absolutely. Unscreened
so
on the back.
You couldn't see it.
In their case, since they've got a street behind them, they couldn't put it in the back of the building and it'd still be invisible.
Yeah.
But for other situations, they could put all that equipment in the back unscreened and be just fine.
Okay. I had a question last time about the facade and the smaller amount of masonry, which concerns me, because then are we going to allow that for all of the other buildings on Veterans Memorial, and what would it, since you're telling me that the canopy will make a difference, then would we require that everyone that wanted to have less masonry would have to have a canopy? Or what was the original thought about the amount of masonry on the metal buildings?
I think that's actually what we're leaning towards, Commissioner Carey, is that For their particular instance, the original specs that I wrote called for 85% masonry on the first floor of the front facade. I reduced it to 25 in this particular case because they did have the canopy. So the trick is going to be working with the city attorney to try to come up with language that articulates that. That basically, if you do extra architectural features in the front to break up the front facade, then we can reduce the amount of masonry. So that's exactly what we're going to try to do, is encourage canopies or awnings or just some type of alternative design rather than just a big square building. And the incentive would be reduced masonry. But if they choose to just build a flat facade, then we're going to require more masonry. So we haven't figured out how to articulate that legally yet, but that's the idea. So to answer your question, that reduced percentage of masonry is just for this product.
You know, I just drove down Veterans Memorial just a few minutes ago and looked at the piece of property, and that street is just looks horrible. And I don't want to set any less expectations than what we originally thought, and that was, I guess, at 85% masonry, which is certainly going to make it much more beautiful to the eye. I guess I can't vision what the canopy is going to do or what a difference that would make is my problem. I can't get that vision in my head how that's going to make a difference, you know, because the new stuff needs to look the very best that we want that street to look in the
right end.
Sure.
And so I don't want to start dropping our expectations just to get a building in there, although that piece of property needs help. It looks terrible. But I just don't want us to drop our expectations to the point that then when that street is completed with all the new buildings, we're going, oh, man. You know, maybe we should have stuck with that 85% masonry because it just doesn't look like what we really wanted it to look like.
I don't think the 85% was in line with that area compared to other cities, what we were asking. We actually have people over there that are still trying to finish building one site because they haven't had the money to finish out to our, you know, what we were requiring before.
Right.
And this is still a requirement now. He's just simply getting a conditional use permit if we pass that, to go along with the 25% and everything else there. So Joe Blow coming in next week, it's still at the 85. I think that area there, I think we have it too high right now, and I believe in having it, you know, higher. But unfortunately, if you look at that street and you compare it to Temple, Belton, Georgetown, Austin, lots of places, they're allowing more to get something in there. But I don't think we're gonna be just letting anything in. So I know what you're saying there. It'd be a shame to have it all full, which I don't know if that's gonna happen in our lifetime. We do want things looking the best they can, but
absolutely.
I think this is, I think it's good. And we can always, Parker Heights, we change things. We don't like it, we can change
things. I thought that we kind of almost had an agreement on, this was gonna be the first model.
Prototype, yeah.
You know, and he was willing to work with us.
Yeah.
That was great.
And that's what I was about to emphasize. I was going to save this for the announcements at the end, but I might as well do it now. We're probably going to take a break for a while on the Veterans Memorial Boulevard Overlay District. I think that we've done enough city-side visioning of what we want to see, what this group wants to see, what we think the council wants to see. So we need to start looking at the residential side, the commercial side. And so I'm going to start putting together some town hall forums probably after the next fiscal year. But, you know, in this fall and winter, we're going to start putting together focus groups and trying to get the businesses to come in. And let's find out what they want, because it's one thing for me to tell them what I think they need. I need to know what they think they need. And hopefully we're kind of close. And if not, we need to try to meet in the middle. So we're going to start that public side of the equation where we sit down and start doing that. And that may take a few months. But it's my hope that in that time frame, that should this be approved, that they would begin construction so we have something to point at. We have something to point at to the public and say, is this enough? Is this not enough? And if it's not enough, then we've got an opportunity to make those changes before we continue. So that's kind of how, when the applicant came in and talked to us, that's kind of how I decided to change the timeline to how to do this. We need to work on the sign ordinances. That's probably what we'll talk about next month. But the point is, we'll take a break, step back, let some things happen, and then revisit it and see how we feel from that point. Good. So while I understand your concerns and I share them, I think that until we really see something on the ground working, and we actually have a unique opportunity to do that. We didn't really get to do that with the Knights Way Overlay District. I basically asked everybody to imagine Market Heights on this side of the highway. This time we've got something that we can put on the ground that we can take to people, I mean, that people can go to and look at. So I'd like to use that opportunity if possible. And hopefully that it.
Do you think 25% is a good amount?
I think so. I think they'll exceed that. That's a minimum. I think that when they look at just a simple, you know, putting a wainscot on a building, there's a standard 4 foot height that's probably exceed 25 feet. And especially when they wrap around the building, I think that that will be okay. The idea is that canopy is gonna shade a lot of that area anyway, so you won't necessarily get to see that deep into it to begin with. So, you know, your eye is gonna naturally focus on the change in material, and so I think that will help. What I should have done and what I like to do is build 3D models of it, because then we could have done all that neat stuff and looked at it. I just didn't have time to do that. And maybe I'll do that before the council meeting and throw those up there so we can kind of see.
I just remember thinking that the pictures that we saw, I thought, oh, that looks like somebody went, oops, you know, we didn't really complete this thing because it was
right.
So short. But.
And you may get a chance to discuss with the applicant. They may, you know, agree to raise that percentage. You know, I'll let you have that discussion with them when it's his turn to get up here. But like I said, I felt that with the canopy the way it was, I think that it was a good starting point.
I think that the real key is a building that is cost effective for a small business. You start getting into the square footage and all that, and it's all masonry and whatever. If this is a start off business, they want to cut down on their costs and how much money they have to buy to get started. So,
right, and that's the razor's edge we're walking. We want to maintain a high quality of development, but we also want to make it open, especially since we made it so difficult on the Knights Way corridor, and purposely so, but we have to have a flip side to that coin. We have to have a place where it's a little easier to do things, and that's what we envision for this area.
And if I recall, when we looked at imagined the front of that, there was not only going to be masonry, but there were going to be some, I think, wood columns and some different things. So it was going to be a nice blend of things. So it wouldn't just be, you know, mason and then bang steel. You know, it'd be a nice mix. Kind of in my mind, when I envisioned it, it was almost kind of a country-esque type front with the masonry, the stone, and the metal. So maybe I think the 25. With that combination could work with making it aesthetically pleasing to someone driving by, almost similar to a looking at someone's home.
Well, and then there's also the hope that as the trees mature, you'll have the trunks where the masonry is visible through, but then the branches will start covering up the metal part. So again, that's why we're emphasizing, you know, placing trees along the frontage and so forth. So again, we're hoping that a combination of these things will equate to something that we all can agree looks great in this area, and if we've got some issues and you get tweaked, then we have the opportunity to go back and fix that in the overlay.
Well, you had me a 6 foot sidewalk, so. Okay.
But how would you go about it? Say we have a model home, that's what we're calling it.
Correct.
Right. And I like the idea of having the other commercial people come in and have business down there that we could say, look, this is our new model home style. You need to upgrade yours to match his, you know, or get on the ball and we have a set standard now. How can we put out the information?
We'll have to figure out how to incentivize that, because obviously nobody's going to make any changes without any kind of incentive, and it could be something as easy as forgiving permitting fees. Like maybe that's enough for them to say, well, it's going to cost me some money to throw some masonry up a little bit, and to put up some vegetation, but if I don't have to pull permits for that, well, I have to pull permits. If I don't have to pay for those permits, that might be incentive enough. So it could be something like that. But yes, we're going to have to, that's the trouble we always have, is how do we advertise? You know, we have so many public forums where we try different means of reaching the public, and then, you know, four people show up. And so that's something that we're just going to have to work on. I intend to work very heavily with the Chamber of Commerce on that regard, because it's not just necessarily for Veterans Memorial. It's a citywide initiative. I mean, the Chamber may know somebody that owns businesses in Killeen that would relocate here if they knew that we were doing things to make development easier. So we need to look beyond the city limits and start looking at the region, and the first step will be the Chamber.
Commissioners, any other questions or comments? All right, sir. Thank you very much. Who's here representing this request? Please come up here and state your name and your address, sir. You can go to that podium right there.
I get to go to this one today.
There you go.
How's everybody doing? I'm Tim Kropp with Central Texas Heating and Air, and you guys all remember me from our circus last time.
You got to have your address, though.
Yeah, 104 Veterans, West Veterans. So I think that we pretty much covered everything in the workshop meeting. And kind of just sort of adding on to sort of what the commissioner was saying about the screening and what, or not the screening, but the front facade and whatnot. When we originally kind of started out trying to design the building and whatnot, you know, it wasn't necessarily just about the cost effectiveness of it, which obviously that does play a big key in it. But we also wanted something that we were gonna, you know, easily be able to build, but also upkeep. And I'm going to kind of use this example because I don't have a whole lot of them, but if anybody ever drives down I-35 and looks at Ray Broker Heating and Air Conditioning's business, they have a whole front stone building. And if you look at those stones, they're mildewed, they're black, because it looks like the weather has just really taken a toll on them. So, you know, it's not that we're not against doing more masonry in design. It's just that because we have such a large warehouse space behind the screening, for us, it wasn't going to be cost effective to try to incorporate the whole building, you know, with 85% of it. So as far as the front elements go, you know, we're not against, you know, once again, working with you guys to come up with what is going to be a good fit for everybody in the vision that we're going. Because the plans that we have submitted, they are what we're going to consider the very, very first plans of everything. And it's like, we don't even have kind of the landscaping elements in there. We know that we're going to include them. We know that we're going to have some trees, and we are going to have some landscaping elements, obviously. But we actually don't have kind of like a 3D of that, of exact placement and how everything's going to go. So, you know, this in kind of still, even in our opinion, is still open to kind of be adjusted to what is going to be in, I guess, everybody's best interest, or, you know, what everybody would like to see moving forward. So like I said, is with that being said, you know, we're not necessarily trying to, you know, get out there with the tape measure and say, oh, do we have exactly, you know, 25% of brick? You know, we definitely want a nice looking building. And then, you know, it's really nice for us working with you guys, you know, from the beginning and kind of as the model project, so to speak, because, you know, it's like, if we can get this right and we can encourage people to come in and everybody's like, hey, you know, that's a really sharp looking building, but they look at it and they're like, you know what, we can probably build that building for a little bit less than, let's just say, what you would build it for in the Knights Corridor. You can attract more, you know, companies like mine, warehouse space or service companies, or people that actually need businesses, need buildings, but they don't necessarily have big foot traffic or big storefront and whatnot, and then we can get that building, or should I say that area, revitalized, because in the end that's going to also benefit us, because it's the more new buildings, the more, you know, that grows and that area, you know, starts coming alive. Obviously that's going to increase the value of our building, which in turn is what we want for the long-term picture. You know, the beginning of it is that was the whole reason that we kind of targeted that area, was simply because of the price point. The price point was right for us. And then, you know, but at the same time, we also had to kind of have it to where we can build something in a cost-effective manner. You know, I mean, like I said, is that if we just had, you know, a couple of million bucks to throw at a building, we would probably put it on 190, or we would put it not so much in that area, so to speak. So, but like I said, with all that being said, I think that we went over mostly everything, and then, you know, the requirements that the that they have put in place for them, we're more than willing to work with those things and, you know, move forward with it, and you know, hopefully start getting the project going. So,
well, I like your enthusiasm, and I like everything we looked at last time. You know, and one thing, the 25%, you know, our inspectors, we can't pass inspection until you have. They'll be measuring things.
They will.
Yeah. You're going to have that to pass final inspection. But I think you'll be great for the neighborhood there. And I think that, you know, this 25% may not be the exact right number. I feel good with it right now. But we can always adjust that, I think. I think you all do great here.
Well, thank you.
Hopefully we get you in there, and we'll be able to drive by there and say that for a long time, you know, we've only had a few new buildings put down there. It'd be good to have another one down there. It's been a while. Commissioners, y'all have anything to say or ask this man? Please.
So well, do I hear you say, oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I hear you saying that even though we would approve the 25% on this one, the next one we wouldn't have to necessarily approve 25%?
This is a conditional use permit. We could do, the next guy comes into Joseph's office, we can say 85%, and it doesn't even have to come before us, because it would be a deal of them meeting all the guidelines. Property's already zoned; they simply build it. Yeah, but we have a man across the street from this man, an old car, Russ's old car wash, formerly Russ's Hamburgers, many many years ago, that burned down and then became a car wash. That this guy hasn't even been able to finish out his business because the restrictions were so great, you know, over there for his place. I can't think of the man's name or what it is there, but anyways, it's almost done, but it's not quite done. He's been working on it for at least 3 years, 2 years, yeah, so.
So why didn't he request a conditional use?
He wasn't as smooth as this guy, I guess. I don't know.
The standard.
Yeah, but, so I think this one is, where we're at 25 is good on this, but again, we can go over this and we can see this thing in action down there, and really, like Joseph said, to kind of get off veterans for a little bit and figure some things out. But do y'all have any questions or comments?
Well,
yeah.
One thing I was going to bring up is that there's a perfect example on 195 of what we don't want is the old HVAC air conditioning place off of 195. It's next to the 195 Baptist Church. They tore down the church and rebuilt the new one, all out of white stone and everything. And it really looks nice that it's stone and tin. But you still got that square building that was just the old HVAC air conditioning place out there, right next to it. And it's a perfect example of what we don't want. And when they built the new church, they moved it over so away from it.
Okay, commissioners, anything else? Sir, please have a seat. Okay, I'm going to open up the public hearing at this time. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in reference to this agenda item? Anybody that would like to speak for this or against this? Is there anyone that would like to speak for this or against this? Okay, closing that out. Close the public hearing. We don't need rebuttal here. At this point, commissioners, back to us. Do I have a motion? Again, this is for what Joseph went over earlier, what the man said, and pretty much what we did in our last meeting as far as what approving or disapproving. So do I have a motion for this? Commissioner Welch?
Motion to recommend an ordinance granting a conditional use permit to adjust design requirements for an air conditioning and heating repair company on property designated as B4 Secondary and Highway Business District, described as Kern Acres Second Extension and Revision amended 17-8, 17. Oh, that's 17. I'm sorry. It's supposed to be 17-8, 17-8, and B1, Block 001, Lot 007A. Acres .65, identified as property ID number 118033, generally located at 104 West Veteran Memorial Boulevard, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas. Based on staff's, I recommend the approval.
Very good, sir. Do I have a second? Yes, sir. Okay, Commissioner Watford, seconds. All right, commissioners, any discussion?
I just want to say if I vote yes for this, it's only because I'm so excited that you all are coming to fill up that spot.
Thank you.
If I vote no, it's only because I'm worried about lowering our expectations. So I'm just really excited about you all.
Just think about that sidewalk. Just think about the
I
sidewalk.
I know, the sidewalk, I can't
the
wait.
The sidewalk, they have me right there.
It would be like, gosh,
three,
you
6 foot wide.
That's
six, two wheelchairs can go down that.
That's three people
times,
wide.
How many times would I have to walk it to get a mile? But I do want you to understand that I am just so glad that you all are going to do that. And I understand about cost effectiveness, having been a business person and teaching business at the university. Understand that totally, but I just have I want expectations about that street to be what we want it to be in the future.
It's got to look good. It's got to look real good. Any other discussion, commissioners? Okay, all in favor, please signify by raising their hands. All right, 7-0 there passes. Congratulations. Thank you very much. You still have to go to the council. Of course, you have a council lady right behind y'all there.
Should be an advocate.
All right. Okay. And thank y'all for, I appreciate y'all coming to see the way y'all did and everything with this. Very, very nice. And hopefully, maybe y'all know some of the people you can bring in here to join you as a neighbor over there. Pick your neighbors.
Yeah. We're looking forward to it. So, okay. it's gonna be a project, to say the least.
All right. Well, we wish y'all the best. Thank y'all very much, folks.
Good luck.
All right. Next item under public hearing is going to be Z18-11, conduct a public hearing to discuss and consider recommending an ordinance to change zoning designation from R1 one-family dwelling district to B4 secondary and highway business district. A property described as 5.5-acre tract of land in Bell County, Texas, being part of the Uriah Hunt Survey, abstract number 401, and the land herein described being part of a called 44.337-acre tract conveyed to Anderson Ortega Jr. and a wife, Janie J. Ortega, of record in volume 1985, page 253, deed records of Bell County, Texas, identified as property ID of 81043, generally located at 13950 East Knights Way, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas. Flip the page. Ms. Perez for the city.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you.
So the applicant tonight is requesting a change from the current zoning of R1 to B4 on property you see before you on your screen. You can see that the front portion of that property does have a large structure. Several businesses throughout time have gone into that building. And so the applicant is requesting to rezone the back portion of that property. I'll let you look at it a little bit longer. It's predominantly been vacant for the most part within the past, I'll say 4 years. That's as long as I've been here. The back half has been used for the neighboring lots, relatives, I believe they were living on the property. It's my understanding that they're wanting to sell it all and they are wanting to rezone it to B4 to further incentivize selling it as a commercial lot. Here is a picture from 2410. Cars were rushing by. I did my best. There is an incline there. So their signage, as you can see, is that this sign over here used to be the old TCOM building. It used to say TCOM, but they've since removed it. And I think that the applicant for this property that's requesting to put their business here is going to replace it, keep that sign. Here is the survey that they have sent us back in May of 20. Ooh, I want to say that was that this year, 2018? City Council approved a rezone for the front portion of this property only. At that time, they wanted to hit the ground running with a commercial business, and they only wanted the front portion. So what you have before you is a rezone request for the back 3.870 acres. So the full acreage of this property to B4 would be roughly 5.5 acres. Existing land use does call this area to be primarily commercial. To the west, you have Syntex Solar, Solar Syntex as a business. And then several lots down to the east is a storage facility. Zoning calls for the area in the front, as I mentioned, to be B4. So we would just be extending that zoning classification to the remainder of the lot. Future land use does call the area within the Knights Way corridor to be primarily commercial endeavors. And I will mention that you can kind of see the outline of the overlay district. While it does get cut off in this extent, it does extend back into this area, so that does put them well within the overlay district. As we had discussed previously, when they came to rezone the front portion of the property, they will have to meet overlay requirements, and they understand that. Staff sent out 12 notifications for this property, and we have yet to receive any back for or against the property. Staff does recommend approval of an ordinance to change the zoning designation based off of the future land use plan, and that it's consistent with the plan as shown here, and it would not likely have any adverse effects on the surrounding areas. I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Commissioners, do we have any questions for Ms. Perez?
After they requested first zoning change, was nothing done with the property to make it commercial?
I believe that when they did request the first rezone change, they were actively trying to pursue a business to fill that building that you see on the aerial image, mm-hmm. and they were just looking to obtain that property and work off of just that small 1 acre piece of property. Now I believe that they're wanting to push forward and sell the remainder of the property. So it would be advantageous at this time to rezone the rest of it to commercial as well. It's our understanding that there is a church that is interested in going in the front portion. So they want to have the opportunity to expand or potentially sell it off to others as they come in or what have you. They just want the options, essentially.
Hey, commissioners, any other questions or comments from Ms. Perez? Okay. Thank you very much, ma'am.
You're welcome.
Okay, who's here representing this request? Ty?
Have to decline, sir.
Okay. Chief Sims? Mm-hmm. It's nice having the fire chief here. I feel pretty safe because I tell you what, the rest of this place has been burning down to the ground.
No.
Just in Harker Heights yesterday. My God, the girls. Apparently, somebody had caught the woman's materials on fire or belongings or whatever else, and then the whole neighborhood caught on fire. That was incredible. Yeah. It's on Facebook, so you can trust it. CNN reported it, too.
Anything on Facebook has to be true.
All right. These people aren't here?
They are not.
Okay. All right. Now, I keep going back. Are they required to be here? Are they not required?
It's my understanding that they are. But Joseph may be able to weigh in on this.
Okay, so for a rezoning, that is not a requirement of the applicant.
Joseph makes up as he goes along. I like that. Great. Okay.
He is quick on his feet. Right.
Okay. So I was attempting to try to contact them, but I can't get them beyond their office number. It's not required for the rezone. It's a different story when we come to the plat, so we'll get to that when we get to it. So basically, you know, the staff's given you, I'm assuming, a recommendation.
She did a great job on this. We already know the property because we did the front section there. This is a property that, you know, commercial is what it's going to be. I mean, there's no other way around that, I don't think.
So it's just going to rest on your comfort level of, did you have questions of the applicant that will prevent you from making a decision whether or not to move forward with this? And if you do, then, you know, you can motion to table it. If you feel comfortable, you can move it forward. I will tell you that they cannot get building permits without platting, so not much is going to happen to that site until that plat's approved, and we still have that as a level of, as a safety net.
They will have to be here for the platting?
They have to be here per ordinance for the plat.
All right. And if they don't have to be here, go ahead, sir.
I guess I do have one question then. Is that whole piece by the county one partial?
Yes, it's one parcel per the county records.
So if they're going to have to be here for the platting, can we just postpone?
That would delay everything. That would delay, they wouldn't be able to, yeah.
Well, to answer your question, yes, because, I mean, they're doing it simultaneously now. If they're not here for the, I guess theoretically they could walk through the door any minute. So, you know, it's up to you in that regard. But if we had to wait till next month, then they could come back and do the rezone and the plat again. So it's not, you would have to table the rezone, because if you deny it, then they have to wait 180 days before it comes back. So you can table it, or you can move forward with it in case they come back. Although I suppose if they came back, we could come back to this item. You know, if you table it, you can come back to the item later tonight. So I think the odds of them showing up are pretty low, but that is an option that you do have.
Yes, Mr. Watford.
The front portion of this.
They want to occupy the existing structure, and then they wanted to rezone it for future development for the back portion.
That solar company there has a lot of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Just kidding.
Maybe they'll get a discount on some solar arrays.
Yeah.
They will have to come up to code. I think that's kind of one of the main issues, is that as far as a commercial endeavor, they have to have emergency ingress, egress, so panic hardware. And that's things that when we initially met with them, the fire marshal was in the meeting, and he discussed that with them, so they are aware. They also do have to have hookup to commercial grade utilities, which we can discuss when we get into the plat, but they are aware.
Well, I think in the past, what we used to do is they'd show up here, that was it. And with the plat deal right after this, I didn't realize it was, although I did check this out, I didn't realize it was right there. I say we table this, and but it's up to y'all, commissioners. I am just a small cog.
I would like to make a motion that we table it.
Smart lady.
And that if they, and I don't know if we have to add this to the motion, but if they come in about the plat, we could readdress the issue tonight.
Okay, well, this is all we have,
this,
right?
This is it.
We're going to be out of here.
That's correct. They would have to walk in the next 10 seconds.
Walk in here real quick. So
let's table it real quick.
All right. Okay, so at this point, she can make a motion to table. All right. All right, Yelena, you'd like to make a motion. Go ahead and say it there, please.
What all do I have to say? I make a motion that we table.
We need to table both items, right?
We're only discussing this one now.
Okay, gotcha. All right, gotcha.
And I think she already made that motion, sir, so it's just we'll wait on a second.
Okay, we have a second. Commissioner Welch, we're good. Commissioner Carey, all right, so we have a motion from Commissioner Carey, and we have a second from Commissioner Welch to table this, and this being item number
Z-1811.
Yep, Z-1811.
Mm-hmm.
Does that work there, saying the Z-1811? Good. That's all right.
Okay,
any discussion, commissioners? All right, all in favor, please signify by raising your hands. And that is unanimous there. Okay, and who would like to make a motion on the next one?
Can we just motion to table it as well?
Commissioner Welch, go ahead, sir.
I motion to table the next agenda item.
Mr. Commissioner, if I may interject for a second, we need to move on to the next agenda item per Robert's rules. And then if you'll indulge me for about 5 minutes.
Man. I knew you'd get me somewhere.
I need to make sure that it, I believe the state code says that the city, the Planning and Zoning Commission must act on this. In other words, there is a ticking clock set by the state for when somebody sets, submits an application for a plat. And if we don't act within that time frame, it's automatically approved. So I need to make sure that tabling is legal versus just denying. Okay. Because if you deny a plat, deny approval, it dies because it requires approval of both the P&Z and the council. So if you say no, it doesn't even go to the city council. At the same time, there are no punishments, if you will. Like with the rezoning, if you vote it down, they have to wait 180 days before they come back. With a plat, they can turn around and come right back. But I need about 5 minutes with this big book to make sure, not that long, but just to make sure, because I don't want you to motion to table it, and then it turns out that's not enough to stop the clock.
But I still need to go ahead and read this out.
Yes, so you need to move on to the next agenda item.
So we're done with that portion there, though. We're going to go to the next item, which will be P18-120, discuss and consider a request for preliminary plat approval on property described as 5.5-acre tract of land in Bell County, Texas, being part of the Uriah Hunt Survey, abstract number 401, and the land herein described being part of called 44.337-acre tract conveyed to Anderson Ortega Jr. and wife Janie J. Ortega, of record in volume 1985, page 253, deed records of Bell County, Texas, identified as property ID of 81043, generally located at 13950 East Knights Way, Harper Heights, Bell County, Texas. It's present for the city.
Thank you, Chairman. Pulling up Robert's Rule of Orders. So as you mentioned, and as we discussed previously, the applicant from the previous zoning case would like to plat this piece of property located at 13950 East Knights Way, also commonly known as the Ortega property or the old TECOM building. They're looking to plat this property because they need to tie into existing utilities. So what they are proposing is a plat here. As staff has looked at this and approved it, we've gone back and forth with comments, and you do have a copy of the most updated comments that they have sent to us with their revisions addressing our comments. Here is the main thing that has been holding this property back from development for commercial use, like we mentioned, along 2410, which is probably going to be just about every lot as we move into the future. So they do not have access to water or wastewater. They currently, I believe, are getting water off of a 2 or 2 to 4 inch line. So it's relatively small and not commercial grade. So commercial grade would be about 6 to 8 inches. In order to do that, they do have to tap onto a line that's several lots down from them. So what they're looking to do is to tap onto that line and run an extension through a TxDOT right-of-way. We've spoken with them and made sure that they have gotten approval with that. And that is something that the applicant would be able to confirm whether or not they have gone to those steps to confirm with TxDOT that they do have that approval within that right-of-way to put that proposed water line. Another thing is that they are also going to have to tap into wastewater. I believe they currently have probably a residential septic, so they can always upgrade and do a commercial septic system, and they have been in contact with Bell County Health, Kent Stevens. And so at this time, they have addressed all of our concerns. Any concerns that you have, however, would need to be addressed by the applicant for this plat. We are doing preliminary plat here, not preliminary final. It does state that, I believe, on the side of their plat, if you see that there. So we just wanted to clear that up with you. But aside from that, everything is good to go, but they do have some obstacles when it comes to utilities infrastructure in that area. They're limited.
Commissioners, any questions for Ms. Perez?
I just noticed that the consulting engineer had some comments. Is there any reason for concern for those or not?
I think that whenever they provided it, it just wasn't clear initially. Ty, can you confirm that when you spoke with Otto?
Correct. I did speak with a consulting engineer. He said they were included. He just would like some more clarification. So if you, as you see in the response to comments, he made that, and then they did provide clarification for him on that. Yes, ma'am.
Any other questions or comments for Ms. Perez? Thank you, ma'am.
Welcome.
We're waiting on you to...
All right. Okay.
Mr. Commissioner Welch is going to do a motion if we have the right wording or whatever.
Okay, so in our subdivision code 154.06 says developer's presence is required. The developer is required to be at all planning and zoning commission meetings and city council meetings. And I'll skip to the end where it says, failure of the developer, his or her authorized representative to appear before the P&Z or city council during a meeting on which the plan or plat is on the agenda for discussion or action may be deemed a withdrawal of the plat or plan. So technically, they've withdrawn since they're not here. So a motion to table because they've withdrawn would be sufficient as opposed to just turning it, you know, motion to deny. Okay. So that would be my recommendation that you go ahead and just make a motion to table because the applicant has withdrawn by not being here. And then we can go from there.
Okay with you, sir?
Sure.
All right.
I have one question, too. And I'm trying to figure out what all this means when you talk about it. It says discuss and consider a request for preliminary plat approval of property described as 5.5 acre tract of land in Bell County being part of. I don't understand why they're not talking the whole piece.
What's going on is this wasn't platted before, so it was a small part of a larger tract. And as they start subdividing those tracts, then let's say the tract to the right got sold and platted. Well, that becomes a new legal description, but the remnant keeps that original description of part of the big giant, you know, EW Hall or whatever survey. So that's what it is this was an unplatted piece of property, and so that's part of the original survey that divided a much larger piece of land.
And so that 5.5 plus the 44 is now one plat?
No, it's 5.5.
It's 5.5. The rest was originally 44, and they carved that out through some other document in the past.
So what are we asking for? Just approval of that 5.5 up front?
That's correct.
Okay.
Well, 5.5 is that whole weird kind of check mark shaped piece of property. If Courtney pulls back, that is 5.0.
Sorry, there's a better, with the survey, you can see the front portion where it's not bolded, where it does say Anderson Ortega Jr., okay. Volume 195.
So the 44 is the original way back when?
Yes, correct. A much larger tract of land that got subdivided. So it's a little bit confusing because they were rezoning just that 3.87 acres, but they're platting the entire 5.5 because they'd already rezoned the frontage a couple of years ago.
So the last time we did approve this, they divided that with the county?
No, they didn't divide it with the county. They just divided it by survey. They presented a survey to us saying, we want to rezone this chunk of our property only.
Just the front part was rezoned.
Right. We advised them to do the whole thing, but they chose not to. And
I remember that.
It's their choice. So that's what we're here today. We were here today to rezone just the back half of the property to make it match the front, and then for a plat for their entire piece of property. But yes, it was originally part of a much larger piece of property.
But when you rezoned it, you didn't change the plat.
That's correct. Those are two completely different operations.
And if I may, before we go on to a recommendation, based upon what Joseph just said, do we table it or just disapprove it? Because they've by virtue of absence, they've withdrawn.
We have to have something on there, and tabling would be the better thing to go with what we tabled previously.
There's no consequence to disapproving, and in retrospect, maybe it's cleaner to go ahead and disapprove it because then that is a definitive action taken by this body. And again, they don't have a consequence. They are not prohibited from bringing this back. If we gave enough, you know, we could have a meeting in 3 days if we wanted to, and they could come back in 3 days legally, because that's all we have to give as far as notice posted on the front door. So they don't have a consequence like they would if you had denied their rezoning request. Gotcha. So in retrospect, I believe Dr. Welch is correct.
Okay. Yeah. So are we ready?
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Motion to disapprove a preliminary plat for property described as 5.5 acre tract of land in Bell County, Texas, beginning part of the, how do you pronounce that?
Uriah
Hunt survey. Thank you. Abstract number 401. And the land herein described being part of a called 44.337 acre tract conveyed to Anderson Ortega Jr. and wife Janie J. Ortega of record in volume 1985, 1985, page 253, deed records of Bell County, Texas, identified as property ID number 81043, generally located at 13950 East Knights Way, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas.
Very good.
Okay.
Do we have any discussion at this time? Or actually, I take that back. We don't have a second. Do we have a second?
I need a second.
All right.
Okay.
Anderson wakes up down here and does a second. All right. Do we have any discussion? Nope. All in favor, please signify and raise your hands. Very good. 7-0 there. That was a tough one, guys, but we did it right. Okay. Next item is, are there any citizens to be heard? Any citizens out there would like to speak? All right. Next item, reports from P&Z commissioners, alternates. Are there any commissioners or alternates that would like to speak? Nope. All right. Any staff comments?
I can't let you guys leave without some staff comments. I already kind of stole my own thunder earlier. We are going to, as I said, take a little bit of a break from the overlay district, but not really. We're going to start looking at the public component of that. And we'll, of course, invite you and the city council to those meetings. I would recommend, or I would ask that you come to as many as you can. I don't know how many we're going to have yet, probably just maybe two or three, maybe just one, depending on the kind of feedback we get. But when we know, we'll certainly invite all of you to those. You know, that way, if they have questions, you have questions, we can have a good interaction there. We are going to shift focus a little bit and start looking at the sign code. I'll give a little bit more background. We'll workshop that next month, so I won't bore you with the details. But we are looking at a complete overhaul of the entire city's sign code. We're working on some minor amendments now to tweak a couple of things, and then those will be rolled into the overall change. And then last but not least, I think Ty's approached a few of you because your terms are expiring, and he was asking if you wanted to continue. As you all know, we are down to no alternates, so I would ask that if anybody knows anybody to go ahead and solicit the city manager's office and talk to the administration about getting an application for a P&Z volunteer. So if you know anybody that's eligible to be in the P&Z, by all means, throw them our way. We could use some more hands on board.
I think Orlando and
Johnson.
Yeah, they're wanting to come back.
Okay, so it sounds like we've got some people. Like I said, if anybody knows anybody, you know, send them my way. I'd be more than happy to talk to them about what we do. Obviously, this has been an exciting year. You got to see CUPs. I don't know if we did any planned developments this year. Yes, we did. The Whitson development, you've seen that. You've seen somebody not show up for a plat. So you've got to see it all this year. Normally, it's pretty vanilla around here, but this year's been fairly exciting. So I think it'll just get more exciting. You know, as I talked about before, the city's getting smaller. You're going to start seeing a lot of people trying to fit round pegs into square holes, and we're going to have to get creative. So that's all I got for announcements. Thank you for your time, and next month we'll probably start workshopping the sign ordinance.
Thank you very much, sir. Okay, hearing nothing further, we are adjourning the regular meeting of the P&Z at 7:40 p.m. Thank you all very much, guys, girls.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
That was a new.
I'm returning your.